3. Romans chapter 3, if you have your Bible with you today. And we want to talk about the subject, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? You know, as a young man, just entering the work world, we used to be driving home from work, and alongside the road there was a sign that I looked at many times that said, are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to meet God? And for a split second, maybe a few seconds, I would sit there in the company station wagon, and I would say, you know, I'm really not prepared to meet God. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to even prepare myself to meet God, but I knew that I wasn't ready to meet God. You know, the Bible does tell us how we can prepare to meet God. In the book of Acts, Peter, he was preaching the first day of the church after Pentecost. The first day, the first sermon, he told people how to prepare to meet God. In the book of John, a religious man came to Jesus. It says he came to him by night, and Jesus told him how to prepare to meet God. And then Paul in the book of Acts, he was in jail at Philippi, and the jailer came to him, and he told the jailer how to prepare to meet God. Well, that's what we want to talk about today, and so we're just going to jump right into it. And the Bible says this, first of all, the first thing we need to realize to prepare to meet God is we need to realize that all have sinned. All have sinned. You go to Romans chapter 3. You see in verse 10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 goes on, and you can read the passages between there, but you jump to verse 23 and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Bible says that we're all sinners. Then number two, it says this, we need to realize that there's a penalty for sin. Realize that there's a penalty for sin. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. And when you get to chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see here, let's look at this. It says, as by one man sin entered into the world. So we go back to the beginning. We go back to Adam and Eve. Not the beginning of the sermon, but the beginning when God spoke and He created the heavens and the earth, as it says in Genesis chapter 1. And God created Adam, and then He took His rib and He made Eve. And we see it with Adam and Eve, that's what it talks about here, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. It's talking about Adam because, see, Adam was created. Him and Eve were put in this Garden of Eden. It was perfect. God said that they could eat of every tree of the garden, but there was one that they were to stay away from, that they were not to eat of, everyone but one. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what had happened is Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they ate of that tree. Now God would come down and into the garden and fellowship with Adam and Eve and walk and talk with them. And after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of course, God knew they did that, but God came down as He did at the regular time, or like He did every day, and He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam, he says, well, we're afraid. We're naked. We're hiding. And God said to Adam, He said, Adam, who told you these things? But to make a long story short, Adam and Eve sinned. And it says here in this verse, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Of course, we realize the scriptures say they were cast out of the garden, but something else happened. They would now die. Up to that point, they would have never died. But now it says in this, in Romans 5:12 that we're reading, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. See, they would die now. They didn't die immediately, but the aging process started. And so death passed upon all men. Now look, it goes back to our first point, for that all have sinned. And so we need to realize, first of all, that we are sinners, but second, that there's a penalty for sin. Romans 5:12 tells us about that penalty. And that penalty is death. Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, that word death looks the same, doesn't it? But there's something different about that, because if we go all the way to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you look at chapter 21 and verse 8, and it says this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." Notice this last part of this verse. It says, "Which is the second death." So we see that there's a physical death, and we're reminded of a physical death when we lay a loved one to rest. And sometimes in the time when we lay a loved one to rest, we begin to realize our own mortality and the fact that we will one day die also. But we need to realize that beyond that death, there is a second death. And that death doesn't sound very pleasing, where it says that they'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So that's the second death. It is what we know as this, as eternal separation from God in a lake of fire that we call hell. That's not a very pleasant subject to talk about. But now let's look at the list of people who are going there. It talks about fearful and unbelieving and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. But let's look at the end. It says, and all liars. And all liars. And you know what? If we wanted to, we could go to the Ten Commandments and we could say, the Ten Commandments are there. But really, the Ten Commandments are there to expose the fact that we are all sinners. Because, we look and, it says that we're not supposed to steal. We're not supposed to have any other gods before God. We're not supposed to lie. That's what bearing false witness is. And people will say this. They'll say a lot of times, I'm really not that bad. But the thing of it is, you're not perfect. You say, but I'm not a mass murderer. See, that's what sin is. Sin is when a person's a mass murderer. Or sin is a person who does really, really bad things. And, maybe I tell an untruth sometimes. Maybe I take something that doesn't necessarily belong to me, but I haven't robbed a bank. But, I believe in Revelation 21:8 that God put that little phrase right at the end, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. He put that term in there, all liars, to include everybody, because you know what? I don't know anybody who in a pinch does not or did not tell an untruth. But now I want us to look here. Now we need to realize that we are sinners. We need to realize that there is a penalty for sin. And then what I want us to look at now is we need to realize that I am incapable of saving myself or to make myself right with God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us about our state before God. Ephesians chapter 2 says this in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now look at, he's talking about, he says, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, that means we can't help ourselves. Let's read verse 2. "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so this lays our state out that we are dead in trespasses and sins. I am incapable of helping myself. But we need to realize also, and this is the fourth thing, is that we need to realize that Jesus Christ died for us. Back to Romans chapter 5 again, but not verse 12. We're going to back up to verse 8 where it says, But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, we need to realize that Christ died for us. And this verse says that word commendeth means proved. God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Another passage of Scripture that we're all very familiar with, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And who did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you and me. He died in our place. Romans 6:23, I read the first part of that verse where it says, for the wages of sin is death. But it goes on and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see that Jesus died. See, he came to earth and he was perfect. He was God in the flesh. And so when he died, he did not die for his sin. He died for us, for our sin. And then fifthly, we must trust Christ as our Savior. We must trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. As we get to this point, we come up with a word that's really not spoken of a whole lot. A word that's called repentance or repent. And we see, well, what does that word mean? Repent is a change of mind which issues in regret and in change of conduct. And you say, okay, those are big words and it's a theological definition, but let's bring it down a little bit more so we can understand it. We're not talking about being sorry for sin, but repentance is a change of the mind that results in a change in my life and practice. Okay? But one step further. It is understanding that I am lost in sin and that Christ is the only Savior. And here's what I do. I change my mind and put my faith, my trust in Christ rather than myself. And here's what that will be. That will be shown in my life and in my practice. Now let's go to Romans 10. It says this, that I must trust Christ as my Savior. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we look at this and we see, it says, with the heart man believes. And see, that's what believing is all about. It's about repentance. If I truly believe that Jesus died in my place. But see, we have to back up there. See, if I really truly believe that I'm lost and that I am dead, as Paul said in Ephesians, in trespasses and sins, and the only way that I can be right with God is to trust Christ in my place. Because, see, Ephesians 2 starts off, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you know, that's what it's all about. It's about being made alive in Christ. And that's what it means to believe. To put your faith and your trust in Christ as your Savior. See, some folks can't get past the point where they say, you know, I'm really not that bad. Others will say, well, okay, but I don't like who Christ is. I'm just going to try and turn over a new leaf. But you see, it's already too late. If we just turn over a new leaf, it's already too late. We're already sinners. We need to trust Christ. So here's the thing. Would you trust Christ as your Savior? Do you see that he is the Savior that you need? If you do, verse 13 of Romans chapter 10 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, here's the thing. If you see that you are a sinner and you see that because of a sinner that penalty is for you and you know that personally, you will have no problem crying out to him. In verse 13 where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As a matter of fact, it'll be a relief. Here's how you cry out. Basically, in prayer, you would say this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that there's a penalty for sin, and I need you to forgive me for my sin. I trust you as my Savior. It's just as simple as that. So won't you cry out to Him? Won't you cry out to Him and trust Him as your personal Savior? You know, you can do it right now if you'd like. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the folks here today. I pray, Father, that they would indeed trust Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that they're a sinner, realize that they need a Savior, and that they would put their faith and trust in Christ. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.